Surah Mursalat. Context of the surah and relationship with the previous one. This surah resembles Surah Zariyat of the sixth group as regards its central theme, introductory passage and line of reasoning, and resembles Surah Rahman as regards its mood and style. In Surah Zariyat, oaths are sworn by the multifarious effects of winds to substantiate the day of judgment and punishment which will be meted out on that day. The following verse of the surah, إِنَّمَا تُوْعَدُونَ لَصَادِقٌ وَإِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقِعٌ, or the threat of the punishment being sounded to you is true and reward and punishment is bound to come, depicts its central theme. Similarly, in this surah too, after the multifarious effects caused by winds are presented in the form of oaths, it is stated, إِنَّمَا تُوْعَدُونَ لَوَاقِعٌ, or what you are being threatened with is certain to come. The surah's resemblance in mood and style with Surah Rahman stems from the fact that just as the verse فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ is repeated many times in that surah, similarly the verse وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ is repeated many times in this one. I have already explained in the tafsir of Surah Rahman that surahs which contain repetitive verses are generally addressed to those stubborn and obdurate people who try to deny a manifest truth mainly due to arrogance and haughtiness. For such people, arguments do not suffice. It is essential that after every argument they be warned of their crime and its fate. If this nature of the addressees is not taken into consideration, then just as the medicine given by a doctor who is not aware of the temperament of a sick person is not able to cure that person, similarly, the words of a person who is not aware of the nature of his addressee fail to produce the desired result. Variation in the temperament of people is a natural thing, and thus keeping this in consideration is an essential requirement of the eloquence of a discourse. People who are not aware of this aspect think such repetitive verses to be mere repetition, whereas the connoisseurs of the Quran know that such repetition has great majesty and grandeur. Its relationship with Surah At-Tahr, the previous surah, relates to the basis of arguments offered. Though the subject of both surahs is the same, the nature of arguments is different. In the previous surah, it is shown that the awareness of good and evil ordained in human nature substantiates reward and punishment. Those who deny this obvious reality are warned, while those who accept this testimony of their inner self and set their lives according to it are given glad tidings. In this surah, the signs of the world around man are the basis of the arguments. If there isn't any allusion to human nature as a basis of argumentation, it is merely a rudimentary reference. The mood of both surahs is very distinct. Glad tidings dominate the latter, while warnings dominate this surah. The repetitive verse in this surah reflects its mood very clearly. Analysis of the discourse. Section 1, verses 1 to 7. The multifarious effects of the winds substantiate the fact that the punishment of this world and the hereafter of which people are being warned is not something impossible. Whenever the Almighty wanted, He used His winds and clouds to punish previous nations, and whenever He wants, He will punish the Quraysh too through these elements. If they want to thrive, they should seek a lesson from the signs which signify the boons and banes of the Almighty. They must not dare hasten it because of their deeds. Section 2, verses 8 to 15. A portrayal of the horrors of the Day of Judgment. Evident from this portrayal is that the greatest objects of this universe are not immortal. Nothing can exist of its own accord, and nothing is independent. Everything exists because of God's decree and moves with His permission only. A day will come when the Almighty will destroy the heavens and the earth and all that is between them. On that day, the accounts of the messengers and their people will be presented. It will be a very important day. Judgment will be passed on that day regarding what the messengers told their people and how these people behave with them. On that day, people who rejected their messengers will be devastated. Section 3, verses 16 to 19. The Quraysh are asked to seek a lesson from their history by asking them about it. The Almighty destroyed previous nations and the succeeding ones too, who followed their footsteps. If this is an established and irrefutable fact, how can God's practice regarding criminals change? Section 4, verses 20 to 24. A reference to God's power, providence, and wisdom by depicting the physical structure of man and his various phases of creation. The purpose of this mention is that man's own creation bears testimony that recreating him is not at all difficult for his creator. Mankind shall definitely be raised to life once again. Those who are insisting on denying this will be doomed on that day. Section 5, verses 25 to 28. Those who live and die do so on the earth created by God. The Almighty has made available in it the means of their sustenance. Neither is anyone beyond God's control, nor is anyone self-sufficient from his sustenance. This situation bears testimony that one day the Almighty will necessarily gather all people. Cursed will be those on that day who did not acknowledge His providence and power in this world. They, while remaining inebriated by the pleasures of life, kept on denying the day of judgment. Section 6, verses 29 to 34. A portrayal of the torment that these disbelievers will face in the hereafter. Section 7, verses 35 to 40. A depiction of the helplessness of the disbelievers. Section 8, verses 41 to 45. A portrayal of the success attained by those who were fearful of the Almighty. Section 9, verses 46 to 50. A declaration of warning to the Quraysh on their arrogance and an expression of hopelessness on their embracing faith. Text of the Surah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ عُرْفًا فَالْعَاسِفَاتِ عَسْفًا وَالنَّاشِرَاتِ نَشْرًا فَالْفَارِقَاتِ فَرْقًا فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرًا عُذْرًا أَوْ نُذْرًا إِنَّمَا تُوعَدُونَ لَوَاقِعٌ فَإِذَا النُّجُومُ طُمِسَتْ وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ فُرِجَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ نُصِفَتْ وَإِذَا الرُّسُلُ أُقِّتَتْ لِأَيِّ يَوْمٍ أُجِّلَتْ لِيَوْمِ الْفَصْلِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِّلْمُكَذِّبِينَ أَلَمْ نُهْلِكِ الْأَوَّلِينَ ثُمَّ نُتْبِعُهُمُ الْآخِرِينَ كَذَلِكَ نَفْعَلُ بِالْمُجْرِمِينَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِّلْمُكَذِّبِينَ أَلَمْ نَخْلُقْكُم مِّن مَّاءٍ مَّهِينٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ فِي قَرَارٍ مَّكِينٍ إِلَى قَدَرٍ مَّعْلُومٍ فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِّلْمُكَذِّبِينَ أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ كِفَاتًا أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ شَامِخَاتٍ وَأَسْقَيْنَاكُم مَّاءً فُرَاتًا وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِّلْمُكَذِّبِينَ انطلقوا إلى ما كنتم به تكذبون انطلقوا إلى ظل ذي ثلاث شعب لا ذليل ولا يغني من اللهب إنها ترمي بالشرر كالقصر كأنه جمالة صفر ويل يومئذ للمكذبين هذا يوم لا ينطقون ولا يؤذن لهم فيعتذرون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ كَيْدٌ فَكِيدُونَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي ظِلَالٍ وَعُيُونٍ وَفَوَاكِهَ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ كُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا قَلِيلًا إِنَّكُمْ مُجْرِمُونَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ Translation of the Surah. In the name of God, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. The winds, when their reins are let loose, bear witness. Then they blow dust all over, and the winds which scatter the clouds then settle affairs separately, then instill a reminder to leave no justification for some, or to inform some, bear witness that indeed the promise which is being made to you is certain to be fulfilled. So when the stars are dimmed, the sky is cleft asunder, the mountains crumble into dust, and time is appointed for the prophets. For what day were they deferred? For the day of judgment? And what do you know what this day of judgment is? Devastation shall on that day be upon those who deny. Have we not destroyed those before them? Then have we not continued to put their successors behind them? Thus do we deal with criminals. Destruction shall on that day be upon those who deny. Have we not created you from an insignificant fluid? Then we placed it in a safe abode till an appointed time. Thus did we estimate. How excellently do we estimate. Demolition shall on that day be upon those who deny. Have we not made this earth one which accumulates the living and the dead, and firmly placed upon it high mountains, and provided for you sweet water? Destruction shall on that day be upon those who deny. Proceed now to that which you used to deny. Proceed to the shade which has three branches. It does not provide shade or protection from the flames. That fire, it will emit sparks like huge castles, as if they were like yellow camels. Demolition shall on that day be upon those who deny. That day will be one in which none will speak, nor will they be allowed to offer excuses. Devastation shall on that day be upon those who deny. This is the day of judgment. We have gathered you and all those before you. Now if you have a scheme to plot against me, then do so. Devastation shall on that day be upon those who deny. Indeed, the God-fearing will be amid shades and springs, and the bliss of fruits they desire. Eat and drink with relish as reward for your deeds. Thus do we reward the well-doers. Devastation shall on that day be upon those who deny. You may eat and enjoy also for a while. You are the wrongdoers. Devastation shall on that day be upon those who deny. And when they are asked to kneel before their Lord, they do not do so. Devastation shall on that day be upon those who deny. So what is it after this that they are going to believe?